Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Sasha and Bailey break up. We got a new top contender. Lots of stuff going on. What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is September 4th, 2020. We are here to talk SmackDown. And we are here to talk that with the note lord, Jeremy Lambert. He gave you over 160 words of notes on this week's show on FightfulSelect.com right now. In fact, Vince McMahon gave more words to the WWE roster in his abrupt letter telling them they weren't allowed to do things than Jeremy Lambert did in the notes that he gets paid nothing extra for. Jeremy, how are you?
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. I'm in a terrible mood. I'm not going to try to hide it. It's been a long 48 hours. Sports are god-awful. I don't know how anybody watches this crap. And let's talk about SmackDown.
How are the Reds doing? Let me look. I didn't even see what they've done the last couple days.
Cares.
Reds aim for twin bill sweep. Okay, they're 17-21 right now. They beat the Pirates. They beat the Cardinals on Wednesday. All right.
Doesn't matter.
And they did not get the twin bill sweep. They lost 4-3 in the second game. But Trevor Bauer is now 3-3. How'd that happen? Anyway, guys, leave a thumbs up, subscribe, tap that bell for notifications. It really helps us. You know what else really helps us? Donating super chats. That will get your question or statement read on the air. We'll get to it whenever the segment occurs. But also, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. We have had coverage all through today. I was actually up pretty late last night talking to people about this Twitch situation and Cameo situation that was going on within WWE. But we've got all kinds of news on FightfulSelect.com, and that's in addition to like 7 weekly podcasts. I do a Q&A show, a backstage news show, I review NXT and AEW. That's the most direct way to support us and what we do, because we do things a little bit differently. Check that out. We're going to go ahead and get into the Super Chats, because I thought this was a really awesome episode of SmackDown. I thought it was one of the best I've seen in a long time, but there's other talking points that are of particular interest. Throwback 27, check out his show on Tuesdays. He brought up one that is now completely under the radar, Jeremy. AOP got released.
Yeah, they got released this afternoon, really out of nowhere, and then they buried it with the Vince McMahon stuff. AOP hasn't been on television since when?
March.
The one got injured, and then they've been off. I don't even know if they've been at television. Probably not.
They have not been.
I don't know why they'd bring them there. They were great in NXT, kind of lost their way on the main roster as things go, and I like the alignment with Seth Rollins, but the injuries kind of took them out of that gig, and we just haven't really heard from them. WWE, I said this on The Distraction on Thursday, WWE doesn't care about tag team wrestling. Like, they would have just come back, and they would have just been floundering and that would have been it. This is probably best for them.
I will constantly point to an example that Kevin Thorne gave me in our interview. If you all haven't checked that out, it's a really great interview. It is chock full of Vince McMahon stories. Before Kevin Thorne was Mordecai, he walked into an office like with Tyson Tomko. That was a, if you were to say, hey, would those two guys make a good team in 2004? I'd be like, yeah, that sounds like right up Vince's alley. Vince said, I don't want tag team wrestlers. Think of something else. We got Mordecai. Vince is to blame. But Throwback 27 says, with the news that happened today with AOP, what can WWE do to fix the tag division on both brands? Them being let go is a big hit, and even them not being used. I hope things change. Stay wicked, guys. I wish they would. Look at tomorrow night's pay-per-view. You got FTR, you got Omega, and Hangman Page, and I'm excited for it. And quite frankly, this might lead to a triple threat tag match at Full Gear that might main event the show. It's astounding how much WWE has dropped the ball with tag team wrestling.
That's the match I'm most looking forward to at All Out. And, I mean, it's a tag team match. What can WWE do about the tag team division? Care?
Yeah.
That's, I mean, they've got the wrestlers for it. They've got the tag teams for it. You can put any two wrestlers in there, make them a tag team. You actually already have established tag teams as well. They just don't care. And so until they do, this is what's going to happen to the division.
And I've got people in the company that are like, what happened? What did they do? And I'm like, I don't know what they did. I haven't heard anything. And like, would it have been both of them? Who knows? And this isn't like a couple guys that didn't pan out. They were overachievers. They came in as big lugs, but the reality is they're both really, really good athletes. One is an accomplished amateur wrestler. The other one was a pretty good MMA prospect. He was beating UFC veterans when he was 22, and he was getting spots on Bellator. And they're 26 and 27, Jeremy. They are very, very young. And assuming there is nothing scandalous about this, the world is their oyster. They've got MMA. They've got pro wrestling. They can do whatever they want. They could even start a Twitch channel if they want.
They would have been great for like Raw Underground if you're not going to bring them back as Rollins' disciples anymore. There's plenty of stuff for these guys to do, both in WWE and now outside of WWE.
Instead of Jordan the Ninja, they could have had them guarding Raw Underground. Because who's going to... When Shane's like, hey, you know what? This stuff is spilling outside a little bit too much. You better keep it in the ring or these two guys are going to mess you up. I think that would have been really good.
They could have been the leaders of Retribution.
They could have been. Dole Whips and Monkey Bars says, go Stars, go!
Ban him. Somebody ban him.
Banned. Patel Ron 6 says, day 6 of no profanity September for SRS. I did use the A word on Twitter, but it was in a quote that Thunder Rosa said, so it didn't count. And I even originally posted that to Fightful Wrestling, and I was like, you know what? I got to put that on mine. She gave me a good quote there. Check out that interview with Thunder Rosa. I got one with Ricky Starks. He talked about how much better I dressed than Jeremy. Check out one I had with Eric Young, new Impact World Champion. How about Matt Cardona? Admittedly, this week, Jeremy, my thought process was AEW's not giving me any interviews. I'm going to reach out to every single person on the card that isn't signed.
And then they gave you Ricky Starks, who get all the time.
And then I was like, you know, we've had him 3 times since March. But I had plenty of stuff to talk to him about, like the Darby Allin paints and video game stuff.
Burying me for just no reason. Using my own joke against me. I sent him that, by the way. And
yes.
He said that you are a thief.
Well, I credited you for writing the joke. That's the thing. You are my joke writer sometimes. So that's fine. Obviously, by the way, Patel Ron 6 says, the rules still apply to Briggs, Borgeau, I don't know who that is. I don't know what that means. Colt Badeau says, I'd also be peed too if I couldn't draw on the side for my main job. So we're going to get to that. We're going to talk about Colt Badeau. He's saying, are people blowing this banning Twitch thing out of proportion? Paige changed her name, maybe. Hopefully that's all they have to do is still stream. So I had a WWE wrestler reach out to me after I ran my aspect of the story. Wrestling Inc. ran one that said that Vince McMahon told talent that they owned the real names and the gimmick names. A wrestler came out and said that was not the case, that Vince did not tell us that he owned our real names. But I did get the letter. The letter's on FightfulSelect.com. Do us a solid, subscribe there. However, there's some conflicting information here. Raj, who wrote that story on Wrestling Inc., said They said on the call they own the names. They didn't say that in the letter. Well, I know they didn't say it in the letter because I got the letter and I published it. Also, Vince McMahon signs his letters as just Vince. Just Vince. But the idea was that Vince McMahon did not want wrestlers using, as far as we know, using themselves to pitch Cameo and Twitch and all this stuff. There are a lot of wrestlers making a lot of money here. I had somebody telling me Paige made like six figures on Twitch alone. I don't know how accurate that number is. Sorry, Paige, if I got that wrong or if I outed you to the tax man. Just what I heard, that Paige is mega successful over there. Cameo, boy, are they making a lot of money on that. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. My personal belief, and this is my personal hunch, I think that Vince McMahon probably heard that people were making a lot of money here, and he said, oh, we can do that with the WWE Universe. Meet and greets. Now, I did have a wrestler who said, yeah, it does cut into our virtual meet and greets, but I don't think it really does, Jeremy. That's not an interaction. It's a request. What are your thoughts on all this?
If they do WWE meet and greets, which they did for SummerSlam, right? So, yes. Like, they can do this. They get their little two-minute phone call, which, as you said, it's an actual interaction, not like, hey, read this statement. I've never used Cameo. We implore everybody, buy us Cameos. We want to review Cameos on The Distraction, yes, for no real reason, but we will do it. So it's a little bit different, but then WWE gets a cut of that. I don't know what the Cameo situation is, how much of a cut Cameo gets, how much goes directly to the wrestler. I would imagine the wrestlers do pretty well on that. I saw like Big E had like 500 something reviews at $150 a pop. It's like $6,500. Like that's, or 65,000. Like it's a lot of money. So Big E seemed to be doing well. I'm sure Roman had to like up his fee because he was getting so many requests and stuff.
Jimmy was sarcastically buying them.
Like, these wrestlers seem to do pretty well on these cameos, and now if they do meet and greets, that even it's going to be less money regardless. Yeah. It's just going to be less money. The Twitch stuff is what really bothers me, because as you said, they're coming after Fightful Gaming. Yeah. With this,
like, we did launch FightfulGaming.com this week, by the way, guys. As of now, it's wrestling, MMA, boxing content, and wrestlers talking about games, wrestlers playing games. It's going to be a lot of that. We will eventually expand if it's successful, but I've been enjoying this. WWE clearly threatened by Fightful Gaming.
Yes. Taking these guys off of Twitch is just dumb. I don't understand any of this. You have the most, you tweeted something like this. A bunch of people have tweeted something like this. Like, these wrestlers want to interact with fans. They want to talk to fans. They're personable. They've got great personalities. And it's like, no, you can only do it on our terms. It's dumb to me. If you want to grow your brand, let them go outside of it. But the wrestlers talk about this all the time. Rusev has talked about this on his Twitch streams. Like, you got to go to WWE and get like everything approved.
Yep.
Like, if you want to put something on your shorts, if you want to do a commercial, like, you've got to get everything approved. And you know they weren't getting this Twitch stuff approved.
And they shouldn't have to. They should not have to.
No, exactly. Like, whether it's their own channel, whether it's popping in on other channels, Xavier Woods and Brody Lee were on a charity stream with each other the other week, New Legacy Inc., and they were just, you know, bullshitting around and stuff. I don't know how happy WWE is about that kind of stuff, but clearly that wasn't approved, that Xavier and Brody Lee are on the same Twitch stream
together. They actually hit me up. They said, is this our fault? And I was like, I don't think so. It might be. It might be, but I don't know if it's your fault or not.
It's absurd. It's absurd that they want to try to do this. Absolutely absurd.
I'll try to compare this as best I can to my situation. I am under contract to Fightful. I still appear on WrestleTalk a lot. But, I mean, Jimmy understands, and if you all have seen our numbers explode over the past couple months, hard to argue that those appearances have been anything but positive. I'm able to connect and just really bring over a completely different audience now because of this. There are going to be a lot of people that are into gaming that don't know who a lot of these people are. And they discover a Rusev. They discover a Paige. They discover a Jessamine Duke, an RJ City, a Mia Yim, all these people via gaming and streams. Xavier Woods. I mean, the numbers go to show. It's one of the most successful gaming channels out there. And Xavier's going to be fine because his is WWE co-opted. Now, it's funny because I asked.
Yeah, but Xavier has his own Twitch channel as well, which has nothing to do with WWE.
Oh, they'll probably let him keep it. I think they'll let him keep it. But I asked Matt Cardona in our interview, which dropped earlier this week. I was like, man, you have this wildly successful figure podcast. Why didn't WWE co-opt it the way that they did with Xavier Woods? And he was like, we pitched it to them, and they said they weren't interested. So we just said, forget it. We're going to do it, but we're not using Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins. We're using Cardona and Myers because one day they're going to want to take that, and they're not going to. He said that he learned from Z Long Island Story because once they said they wanted it, he had to give it up because he used all their IP in it. So, man. It's a wild situation. We're going to learn more about it, but any other thoughts?
I think that... You know, you can tell these guys, hey, because like Ember Moon will go on there. Like Ember Moon just straight up like reviewed Raw that one week and was like, yeah, this was bad. This was bad. Like you can tell them, hey, you know, don't bury the product.
Yeah.
Like don't do any of that kind of stuff. But if they're just going on there and just playing video games and interacting with fans, what is the harm of this? What's the harm of any of that? It's promotion. It's free promotion for your company.
Aaron Entertainment says, athletes are on it and make millions. Yes, they sure do. Yes, they sure do. The Jam One, Ryan B. Jam, says, to SRS's point about him being on WrestleTalk, I became a subscriber to this YouTube channel because of him being on Quizzlemania. Yeah, I mean, when I get the opportunity to be on a show that does 10, 11, 12 times as many viewers as we usually do, I'm going to do that. And I've had to pick and choose that a little bit more lately. Like, you'll see me on the MMA Fightings and the WrestleTalks and stuff. That just makes sense. Now, for a wrestler, they've got downtime now. They've got more downtime than they've ever had. You don't want them to be doing this? Of all the things we've heard about in decades past, this is where they're like, no. All right.
They should be training, Sean. They should be figuring out how to grab the brass ring, not playing video games.
Or doing somas like back in the day, I guess. Anakin JMP says, was Rezar still hurt? If he was, that's tasteless for WWE releasing someone that got hurt in their ring. They don't usually do that for someone who's hurt. He had missed 6 months. I'll find out, but they had not been at the tapings. Patel Ron 6 says, Briggs Bourgeois is SRS doppelganger. Everybody tells me I look like a different person every week, so. Anakin JMT says, busy day tomorrow, going fishing with my son in the morning and making Sean's cookies in the afternoon, all out in the evening. I'm going hiking tomorrow, Jeremy, and we're 16 minutes into this show and I haven't talked about a great SmackDown, so we're going to do that. All due respect to Anakin's comment. I'm ready for those cookies.
Have fun, Anakin.
Jeremy, put him over. You put him over for me.
He's a good man.
He is a good man. I love Anakin. He's awesome. So let's talk about it. I thought... Like everything on this show was pretty good, except for Heavy Machinery and Miz and Morrison. But Paul Heyman comes out and says that Roman Reigns had the same thing happen to him that Heyman had happened to him, that he fought through a life-threatening illness and had his title shot taken away upon needing some time off. He indicates that Fiend would be really bad on news shows. It's that typical talking point, Jeremy. I do love that he hammered home the... Oh, how good are they on a morning show talking point?
The Fiend, when he did, I guess it was just Bray, but when he did the weather thing, when Bray Wyatt was first big last year, that got so many views. So Paul Heyman is wrong.
Yes, he is wrong. And Braun Strowman is a guy that they used to say that about. Oh, he wouldn't be good on those morning shows. He's fantastic on them, actually. He's much better on morning shows than he is on his actual social media. So there you go. Heyman calls Corey Graves Carmella's latest boyfriend, which, you know, open.
I thought that was about Michael Cole.
Exactly. There you go. I was lobbing that one up. We'll call that the Angels in the Outfield floater, only you didn't whiff on it. You knocked it over the left field wall. Roman Reigns says all he needs to do is show up and win. I love that line because it's such a heel thing for him. He's got that entitled attitude, but somehow feels that he is oppressed by this situation. So when you're doing both at the same time, that's a very unique heel quality to have. To simultaneously say, you know what, they've been holding me down when Nobody believes that. But there's enough reason that you believe, okay, that's why he would say that. And then in the same breath, Jeremy, he turns around and says, yeah, but all I need to do is show up and win, no matter when it is in the match. I like that. That's an aspect we haven't really seen.
I loved everything about this promo. They just trademarked the show up and win, and we didn't really know who it was about.
Yeah.
Now we know it's about Roman Reigns. Awesome. Like, that is all he needs to do. I thought Heyman was great in that usually with, like, Brock, he's more animated and, like, his tone is a little bit higher. It was more kind of even-keeled and calm with Roman, and I thought that was just a nice little difference that we don't always see out of Heyman. And Roman, he didn't say much, but he said enough, and he's a heel now. It's great.
Really great. Weeping Milwaukee says, why did Heyman sound so windy during that promo? He had a lot on his mind.
That's the new Paul Heyman. Instead of just screaming out Brock Lesnar's name, now he speaks a little bit more, and he gets long-winded when he talks.
Yeah, he made amends with AJ Styles, apparently. Water under the bridge, allegedly. Too bad we won't be able to hear more stories about that in like a month. I'm excited to see how many people go off about this on their Twitch streams.
Yeah, I don't know if AJ has a Twitch stream tonight. Usually he streams on he's not streaming on Fridays anymore because the show is live. But
yeah,
I'm sure he'll stream over the weekend. And,
ooh, boy.
And now I got to watch AJ's Twitch stream to get more transcriptions.
Ooh, boy. Drew Nicholas says, Heyman and Roman together in that shot looked bad. A, he and Roman are a perfect duo, and I love that they've made it as Roman pulling the strings. I don't know. It seems like a very collective partnership here, because backstage, and this was one of my favorite parts of it, the Jey Uso integration. Jey Uso shows up backstage, and Paul Heyman was not disrespectful to him. He shot him a little look. Jey was not disrespectful to Paul Heyman. I thought that Jey played this amazingly. He's like, man, I've been texting you all week. I'm so happy to see you. Reigns is like, I'm just busy. And This is integration that we've looked for a long time. Reigns and the Usos, for better or for worse. What did you think about this?
It's nice that they are putting them together, because so many times it's like somebody turns, something happens, and like, you know, this person has friends and they don't always like care. And here we have like family. We haven't seen Jey Uso in a while. We know they've been off television because Jimmy's injured. And the moment Roman is back on SmackDown, his first show after the Heyman alignment, not counting payback, but we see Jey Uso and he's like, hey, you know, like, what's up? What's been going on? They explained it like, hey, this is why I haven't hit you back. This is actual, like, logical segment here of tying things together. And it was nice to see, because we don't always see that from WWE.
And they talked like human beings.
Yeah.
they weren't like,
oh, that was actually displays. Like, hey, big dog, why, you know, why didn't you do that? You came back to the yard. Get all these buzzwords in there. Talk about the WWE universe.
Yeah. You know, the WWE universe has been missing you a lot, big dog. Like, one of those. Ah. But I thought they played it really, really good. And Jey said, listen, man, just know I've got your back. I love that. I love that, man. Just because somebody changes their attitude doesn't mean they lose all their friends. Anakin JMT says, think Adam Cole would get in trouble if Britt Baker showed back up on his stream. Well, he shouldn't, since, I don't know, did Triple H get in trouble for Britt Baker showing up on his TV show one time? I don't know. Eloquent says, if WWE makes Asuka give up Kana TV, we'll riot. That would be stupid. She is a juggernaut right now. She is doing great.
Again, just tell them, don't bury the product.
Yeah.
Don't do any of that stuff, but just keep letting your personality go out there. It's stupid to think otherwise.
Reminder, guys, donate a super chat. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. If you're watching or listening after the fact, we are on podcast platforms everywhere, but you can always head to FightfulPods.com, download, stream, watch the shows. Heavy Machinery defeated Miz and Morrison. I didn't really care about this. I hate fired up spots. I hate them. Like Otis rubbing his belly and all that stuff. And I hate him. I hate him.
You don't like Otis going, oh, yeah. After,
no,
like,
I don't.
Every single move. He used a Vader bomb. I thought that was cool.
Exactly. That's my favorite part of the match. He did the Caterpillar, but then he did the Vader bomb right after. I'm okay with it. I'm all right with it.
I like the finish that he did the Vader bomb. Otherwise, yeah, I wasn't paying attention to this match.
It was stupid. The moonlight drive on the outside was really cool. Morrison, though, makes this segment supremely dumb. He steals the Money in the Bank briefcase, and he seems to think that he owns it. Now, if this was like a capture the flag game or something, sure. And maybe they could do that with the briefcase at some point. But that it doesn't work like that. However, what it would usually mean, Jeremy, is that Otis couldn't physically cash it in.
Yeah. So
I like that. I think that would be kind of cool.
See, I thought that was where they were going. It's like, oh, I've got the briefcase now. He can't cash it in. If he wants it back, he's got to give me a match. Because they don't do, maybe at least in recent memory, it doesn't feel like they do a lot of, hey, the match for the briefcase. They did it early, I think, when Edge had it. Kennedy lost it to I think, Edge way back when. And then they've done it a couple times way in the past, but like more recently, I don't remember, like, hey, the briefcase is on the line in this match. Like, they could have done something with that, because I don't think they know what they're doing with Otis right now. Damn. And they definitely don't want him to cash in anytime soon, unless they just have no intention to put the title on him, because he ain't beating Roman.
Yeah, he is not beating Roman. Well, neither is John Morrison, because backstage he figures out that the briefcase is actually Otis's lunchbox.
Ha! Huh.
He switched him. The lunchbox has the contract, and the briefcase has his lunch in it.
Why couldn't Morrison cash that in, though? Is Otis's name on the contract? It's just a contract, right? Like, we don't know what name is on it, so theoretically, Morrison could have cashed it in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you at all. Well, speaking of lunch, Andre Banks says, let's get a steak after the show. That was a great line from Jey Uso. A great line from Jey Uso. I'm going to kind of group some of the bigger stuff together, but let's go ahead and talk about this Intercontinental title segment. It was to basically get three guys on the screen and say, hey, they all want this belt. That is it. Sami Zayn came out with his title. He's not happy. He's not announced as champ. Jeff Hardy comes out and says, well, I'd have just given you a shot if you asked. And Zayn hilariously just flips out. He's like, I don't have to ask for anything. It's mine. And AJ is mad, too. They just took his Twitch stream, so he's got to hold on to something. This is whatever. This is fine.
Jeff Hardy is a fighting champion. He's like, oh, you're healed up? I'll give you a shot. Yeah. Sammy, you're back? You want a shot? Sure, I'll give you a shot. Sammy is playing the entitled prick of, like, I don't need to do any of that. I'm the actual champion. You guys should be requesting to face me. I don't need to request to face you. And AJ is just, yeah, like, he's probably freaking mad that his Twitch stream has now been taken, and so now he needs an Intercontinental title to hold on to. I thought it was a good segment, though. It advances the feud. I guess we'll get a triple threat match or a couple singles match in the coming weeks. But it got everybody on television, reminded us that, hey, this is a thing. I thought it was good.
Did I tell you my new pitch for Jeff Hardy's character, since he's used the knee brace twice?
Oh, God.
I want him to be the Ed Harris from Major League. Like,
okay.
He used to have this heater. He used to have the Swanton bomb. He used to have a good curveball, the twist of fate. Now he's just throwing Crisco on everything and snot on the ball. Like, anything he can do to get a win. He just doesn't have the heater anymore. That's what I want Jeff Hardy to do, but they won't do it. Rafael Garcia says, how much for you to do an entire show in a Jeff Hardy accent? Well, all I got to do is stop putting on this fake accent that I do during all my shows to make you all think that I don't have an accent, and then I'd probably be doing it. Colt Badeau says, now that makes sense why Liv made a YouTube channel in her real name. Yeah, it's what most of them should have done, honestly, but I get why a lot of them didn't. If it comes down to it and it's just use your real name, I'm fine with it. That's okay. I'm okay if WWE says, Sheamus, you cannot use that name for
Warrior workouts.
Yes, exactly. If you want to use Stephen Farrelly, that's fine. That's fine. And I'd be completely okay with that. They own that IP. They get to decide how it's distributed. Now, when it comes down to real names, I'm a little bit, because John Cena's under contract there. So it's like, what, can they keep him from using John Cena? I wouldn't count on it, but
they're not going to be able to do anything about real names. And even if they say, yeah, use your real name, like, I'm not going to write an article on Adam Cole. Adam Cole says WWE, NXT is losing to AEW. It's not going to be Austin, whatever his last name is. Yeah, that's not gonna look at you. That's not gonna be the headline on the article. You'll yell at me like, no one's gonna Google Austin Jenkins.
That's right. There was a nondescript vignette for a female wrestler. Who do you think it is?
Lacey Evans repackaged.
Could you imagine?
Naomi repackaged.
Weeping Milwaukee says next week they'll debut Cassie Royce. Just so. Yeah.
So, they're just going to start using everybody's real names.
Everybody's then. Shoot name.
Yeah.
Colt Badeau says, was that Eva Marie or Queen Hannah Moore in that fur coat? I don't think Hannah wears fur. I don't think she's cruel. Maybe Retribution's wearing fur now.
They're not on SmackDown.
That's what they want you to think. That's where they get you.
No, all right. That would actually be a great con if this is actually just Retribution and their PETA.
Firefly Funhouse happens, and this happens after like the main event brawl started. But Wyatt says a new friend is coming next week. They they were so smooth about how they immediately went to Alexa Bliss backstage, hugging Nikki Cross and being like, I'm sorry about last week, and Nikki being hesitant.
Do you think it's going to be Alexa as a puppet, or is it like actually going to be another personality for Alexa?
I think it will be a personality.
I think so, too. I hope the Sparkle personality is back. Sparkle Bliss returns, and then when she wrestles, she has the clown mask on, just like Bray Wyatt.
I would love that. I think that would be a lot of fun. So they packed that stuff in. It wasn't too long. All those segments were just fine. We're going to save the big segment for last because we're already down to like... This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time, but the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
The last two things. But backstage, also, I howled with laughter when Michael Cole called that four-way main event one of the biggest matches in the history of SmackDown.
They were all over the hyperbole tonight, like the women's tag team title match, like, oh, biggest women's tag team title match we've had on here, and like, it's a big match, but like, we literally just saw it at Payback, and you've had plenty of women's tag team title matches. They were going over the top with the hyperbole, but I mean,
Stone Cold and The Rock versus Undertaker and Triple H was the first main event of SmackDown ever.
So? That's not bigger than Jey Uso,
yes,
King Corbin, Matt Riddle, and Sheamus battling
yes.
in for a shot to lose to Roman Reigns at Clash of Champions.
The second SmackDown ever, the first one when they signed the program, Triple H versus The Rock with Shawn Michaels as a special guest referee. Even the next week, The Rock and Mankind against Triple H and Shane McMahon. You could argue that one was bigger. You had The Undertaker and Big Show against Mankind and The Rock in a buried alive match for the tag team titles the next week.
This match wasn't even bigger than the bar fight a couple of weeks ago.
They had the week after that, Kane, Mankind, The Rock, Undertaker, and Big Show.
Matches aren't big, Sean.
Triple
H. Do they have best heel in the business, King Corbin? No.
I'm just going to keep running through these. Triple H versus The Rock in a bull rope match. Man. And then the first one where I'm like, not that big. Davey Boy Smith against Triple H, but it was still a world title match. Oh, my God.
None of these matches featured King Corbin.
And obviously, Rock versus Val Venus continued that trend. I can stop now. Queen Hannah says, I'm super behind, but Kofi donates his money from Cameo to Shad's wife and son. That's part of the reason that I got him. That's the thing. A lot of these people are... Mia Yim did one tonight to help raise money for Casey Michael, the owner of Squared Circle Sirens, who we lost this week. By the way, guys, please donate to his GoFundMe. Help out his family. One of the great dudes in wrestling media. The preeminent source in women's wrestling. A guy who helped me a ton. I can't count how many times I would bounce stuff off of Casey. And if I wasn't in the right direction, he would send me in the right direction. I owe that guy a ton. Also, I truly admired his troll game. And when he would tweet that men's wrestling was trash and people would take him dead serious. He believed it, but he knew what he was doing, and I will always admire that.
He was not trolling. That was 100%.
I know, Casey. But he believed it, but he knew what he was doing, and I loved it.
I tweeted once, it was like, oh yeah, just abolish all men's wrestling,
yeah.
Except for like Daniel Bryan, and so many people just attacked me, and I was just like, this is what Casey goes
every
through
day.
Like every single day. And I don't know how he did it, but Casey was awesome. I bonded with him over, unfortunately, health issues because he went through a lot, and my ex went through a lot, and so we kind of had common ground there. But yeah, losing Casey sucked. It's been a shitty week, and that's a big part of it.
And a ton of respect to Mia Yim for doing that stream and
yes.
raising some money for him. There is a GoFundMe set up. We have the information on Fightful. It's all over Twitter as well. Anakin JMT says, did you notice the rambling rabbit puppet in the background during the Alexa and Nikki segment? I didn't.
Really?
I
didn't see rambling? That's why I asked, is it going to be just like a puppet Alexa in the funhouse next week? Because, yeah, the rambling rabbit segment character popped up when Alexa was playing with her hair and making nice with Nikki.
And again, JMT reminds us, Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle, Iron Man match for WWE title.
I was there.
Were was you?
Yeah. Yes.
Was that in Raleigh?
Yeah, it was in Raleigh.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah.
That
SummerSlam, the SummerSlam that Louis and Alex just reviewed, I was at that one too. Yeah, Raleigh.
That was a topic on Quizlemania the following week, right after I edited the audio on that podcast. It was, how many matches from that show can you name? I was like, 9 or 10. I just covered it. Oh, I love it. But one of the biggest matches in SmackDown history, I think not. Get your super chats in, guys. Still some time. Big E is backstage with Lucha House Party and Drew Gulak to celebrate Xavier's birthday. But Xavier isn't there. They think he's there, but as it turns out, he's not because
WWE didn't call him and let him know he was supposed to be here for the birthday segment.
They sent him a letter today. Don't worry. I know Xavier got that letter. That's for sure. So Sheamus shows up and lays a really good beatdown on Big E. Now, here's my issue. I just watched Big E beat Sheamus. Why do they need to do this again?
Sheamus is mad.
I know he's mad, but this is what they always do with him. What'd you say? He's mad? No, he's mad. Because he's a bully that got punched in the face. So now he's got to show him. Now he's serious.
Sheamus is very angry that he lost this match, and now he's taking it out on the man. I know you're angry because we're going to get 300 Sheamus and Big E matches over the next couple of weeks, but I didn't have a problem with this. Sheamus showed some anger. He used Xavier returning to set up. That was the part I thought was stupid. Like, did you set him up? Is this a conspiracy? Like, what do you think it is? Of course that's what happened. Caleb Braxton did not go to journalism. But I thought the beatdown was great. I thought it all made sense. And then Sheamus cutting the promo as Big E is getting loaded onto the stretcher in the background was a great visual.
I love the beatdown. I thought it was awesome. I know we're going to see this two or three more times, and I would be okay with that, but I'm like, why didn't you do this before? Create an issue for them before. Sheamus, the only issue I need is that Sheamus doesn't like Big E, and Sheamus is in this match and thinks he's going to increase the opportunity of him winning. That's all I need. And this was a wonderful beating. I loved it. I just, man, just right after they had a match, just don't do the match. And then do it after this because it makes a lot of sense.
I disagree with you. I think it still made sense here.
I mean, it still makes sense, but it's WWE, so I just know what they're going to do. They're like, all right, they did the match. Now we got to make them do it three or four more times. I just know it.
That is probably true. But let it play out, Sean. Let it play out. You're getting ahead of yourself.
Let it play out. I just watched them do Riot Squad Iconics 9 times, and then the one with actual stakes. It was a 5-minute match with no build.
Yeah.
Lake the Snake Logan says Otis did the Vader bomb and the Dallas Stars won. This is the greatest night of nights.
Blake, what?
You heard me. His name was Lake the Snake Logan.
I don't get it. Am I supposed to get this?
I guess not. Jeremy, do you know what this is?
It looks like I can't tell, honestly.
It's a dongle.
Okay.
Do you like dongles?
No.
I bet there are a lot of people that like dongles. I just want to make sure there's no name brand on this. I love a good dongle. I love this dongle. I haven't even opened it. It's in the package. A fresh dongle.
I'm trying to do work over here as Andrew Yang is tweeting about Vince and his corruptness.
Yeah, of course. Of course, as he should. But well, let's talk dongles. Let's talk dongle. I am the dongle lord, as you know. Yeah, it's out there. I'm the dongle lord.
I've heard you call yourself that. Congratulations, Playoff P. You've given yourself a nickname.
Yeah, this is a fresh, beautiful dongle. And you got to make sure that your dongle's working right. You know why?
Why?
Because a dongle is an adapter, and sometimes you have to adapt, and you want that adaptation to work right. And that's why I have adapted my life from regular cereal to MagicSpoon.com. Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid, but I had to give it up because it was full of sugar and junk and stuff you shouldn't eat. I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, unhealthy food. I told you guys about how intensely I was training before COVID. I was trying to get back in the ring. Magic Spoon was a big part of that. 11 grams of protein, zero sugar, only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. And that variety pack that I love, it's what I order each time, has 4 flavors. Fruity, blueberry, frosted, cocoa. It tastes amazing. And it's honestly too good to be true. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carbon, GMO-free. And when you go to MagicSpoon.com/Fightful, grab a variety pack, try it today, and use our code FIGHTFUL at checkout and get free shipping. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. If you don't like it for any reason, if you're not adapting like the dongle lord, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Although they might say, what does a dongle have to do with this? They're probably going to ask that. MagicSpoon.com/Fightful. Use that code Fightful for free shipping. Hit them up at Eat Magic Spoon on Twitter. Let them know you heard about them from us. MagicSpoon.com. It fills you up. It's good stuff. Any thoughts, Jeremy?
No, I don't want to play with your dongle. And Magic Spoon is great.
It is great. Code Fightful. So we had that beat down. Afterwards, we see Heyman approach Adam Pearce. Adam Pearce has been really good on these shows.
He was missing the postman outfit this week.
Yes, he was.
I think he should just dress up like that all the time.
I mean, yeah, it works. But we did get the main event. The main event features Jey Uso. He replaces Big E. Jey Uso goes backstage and thanks Roman Reigns. I thought this was really, really good, too. He thanked Roman Reigns for getting him in the main event. And Roman says, hey, don't thank me. Thank Paul. And then Roman's like, I win stuff. Your brother wins stuff. You got to win one on your own. I missed Jimmy Uso winning a bunch of stuff. at marriage, at life, I guess. He won there.
I think that's what Roman was referring to here, is that Jimmy Uso has won at life. I mean, maybe Roman has the stats here and is like, hey, they've got however many title reigns, and Jimmy scored the victory in all these title reigns. Maybe Roman knows more than we do.
Evidently. Evidently,
Roman's done his research on Cage Match, okay?
Yeah, but Jey Uso won this, and he is going to Clash of Champions. Anakin JMC says, did WWE just gender Jey? Not by a long shot. No. I mean,
I don't even know what that means.
I guess just shooting him right up the card. He ain't winning the WWE title. And if he did, Jey Uso would be probably a better champion than Jinder Mahal would have been then. I think that with the benefit of hindsight, had Jinder Mahal for some reason won the title this summer, he would have been infinitely better than he was in 2017. We didn't have the benefit of 2020 hindsight then, but Jey Uso, I think, would have been a way better champion, but that ain't happening. That's not the case. That's not where we are right now. And I think Jinder would have been much more tolerable had they not rushed it and acted it was such a weird booking. That's a whole nother thing for another day. But the match itself, Corbin's got a great spine buster. Jey lands on his feet out of a Riddle German suplex, doing stuff that typical people do when they've missed 4 months of in-ring work because WWE won't wrestle them while their brother is injured. Riddle and Sheamus have a nice series where Riddle uses some MMA offense. Sheamus does a clover leaf. I actually thought Jay's sloppy dive kind of worked well here. It was kind of chaotic. But then they went into the finishes, Brogue kick on Corbin, bro to sleep on Corbin, it was both of those on, it was one on Sheamus, two on Corbin. But then when Riddle hits the floating bro, Uso does a splash onto Riddle and pins him. I thought this was really good, and I thought it was a good way to get Uso to win. How'd you feel about all this?
They tossed Uso into the Thunderdome crowd. I thought that was the best part of this whole match. It was a good match, and Jey Uso winning it sets up that. And it was, you know, the formulaic kind of WWE style with, hey, two guys are kind of outside, two guys are kind of inside type deal. But it worked here. It was good to see Jey back in the ring. Everyone got a little bit of shine, and the right guy won. I was very worried when the match was announced that, not worried, but like, all right, Corbin wins, Sheamus wins, you can squash them in 30 seconds and it's not going to make a difference. But they've actually put some thought into, hey, Jey Uso has won now, and now we've got a Roman Uso kind of family showdown for Clash, and it feels like a much bigger match than just Roman squashing a guy. So it seemed like they actually had a plan with this, and I appreciate when WWE puts some thought into something.
Jimmy complaining that I didn't use a graphic that he had his team make for Magic Spoon. Don't worry, Jimmy. It's coming. It's coming. Got to figure out how to transition into it. I love this finish. We got the Jam one, Ryan B. Jam, saying, people are already calling that a burial of Riddle because he ate the pin. People are morons for thinking that. He lost one. So what? He lost one clean. That's how I prefer it. I prefer that over some stupid distraction or something that makes him look dumb. He looks like he got hit with a finishing move that has beaten tons and tons and tons of people. I'm completely fine with it. I am completely fine with it.
He got caught off guard after he'd hit his move, and then, you know, he wasn't prepared, and he got hit with the other guy's finisher. I don't see how this is any type of burial.
Yeah, I agree. Dizzy C says, Jay winning made sense. Babyface cousin who's had his back forever for Roman to brutalize mercilessly to help underscore that he's a heel. I mean, there's no doubt who's winning this, but I'm in it for the story. Yeah. I want the story.
It doesn't, I mean, we know who's going to win, but it can make sense if, or it doesn't have to be unpredictable or whatever, as long as it makes sense. And this makes sense. Predictability is fine as long as it makes sense. And this was good. Again, I appreciate that they put some thought into this instead of just having Sheamus or Corbin win and it's a squash and you move on. Or you do a Riddle and a Big E match before he got taken out. You do that and you kind of blow that match early on a pay-per-view where you know this guy isn't winning. So the fact that they put some thought into this with this story, I love it.
Marcus Ryan says, do you think Roman versus Jay could lead to the Usos joining Reigns whenever Jimmy comes back? I sure hope so. I mean, that is a great stable waiting to happen. It really is.
That's straight out of the Distraction TEW series.
Anakin JMT says, with curveballs like Sean Segway, he should pitch for the Reds. Wouldn't hate it at this point.
You could come out of the bullpen and be pretty successful.
Could. Dante V says, weird seeing Andrew Yang tweeting about the WWE news. I'll read this tweet. He says, if I'm not the Secretary of Labor, I'm pretty confident I'll have his or her number to talk about the ridiculous classification of WWE wrestlers as independent contractors while controlling their name and likeness for years, even for something as benign as Cameo. Come on, Vince. You've already deprived the folks breaking their backs for you of health care, security, recovery time, retirement benefits, and fair treatment regarding licenses and royalties. At least let them make a living off their own names. Many of them need it. I grew up a wrestling fan, and it's sad to see so many of my childhood heroes pass away early. I'd feel better know that they and their families were being fairly treated. I look forward to doing what I can for the next generation of performers. I know how tough it is. Vince, you better hope your old friend Donald wins, because change is in the air, and changes are long overdue where your corrupt labor practices are concerned. It would give me great pleasure. The people know. Wow.
Andrew Yang just shooting out here on a Friday night.
Andrew Yang, hit me up. We'll do an interview.
Man. This is the first time he's tweeted about wrestling. He tweeted after AEW, one of their shows last year. So, he has a history. He said he's a wrestling fan. I believe it. Now I just assume he's going to be at All Out tomorrow. Hey,
what about Reggie Miller putting over Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy? That was awesome.
Everyone report that. Andrew Yang's going to be at All Out tomorrow.
No, please don't. Planet Dan says, you're the dongle lord now. Clearly Roman's idea. I don't know what you mean by that. But guys, get your super chats in. We are at what I consider the main event segment. Had people saying, you missed it. Why aren't you talking about the split? Yeah, we're just going to completely ignore the 42-minute segment on this show. 42 minutes, and it was worth every minute of it. Sasha Banks and Bayley split after a women's tag team title match. Before everything gets started, Sasha supporting Bayley's greatness. Did you think tonight was going to be the night?
I did, because they kept hyping it up that tonight was going to be the night. After last week, I didn't, because as I said last week, it felt like there was real progress made in, all right, this split is coming. And then they lost the titles at Payback, so that added to it. But I thought they were just going to keep kind of delaying. But Michael Cole and Corey Graves are like, big things are going to happen in this match. I can feel it. I can just feel that big things are about to happen. Something's about to go down right now. Like, don't telegraph it so much. Just let it play out, as people like to say. But I thought they kind of telegraphed it. It was still great, don't get me wrong. But I definitely think Cole and Graves kind of did a disservice to it.
Yeah. The match I thought was really good. Nia is still really slow in the ring. Like, she is having trouble keeping up with these three, and it's becoming more and more obvious. And it doesn't help that when she does do something big, like, I don't know, get powerbombed outside, the camera completely misses it. How do you miss Nia Jax getting powerbombed?
I don't know how they missed that. That was bad, but I mean, that's almost par for the course with WWE production, honestly.
The swinging power bombs into the barricade was good. Baszler doing the arm breaker on Bayley was really good. Bayley does her flying elbow drop. Shayna kicked out of a lot of offense. They made Shayna look real strong over the last week. Just amazing. Sasha getting sit in the stairs. Baszler destroys her leg. I thought this was going to be it. I thought that she was going to have to tap out here, but that's not the case. She puts the bank statement on. Nia breaks that up, goes for the stretch muffler. What are these agents doing? That is Big E's finish now. They don't care for some reason. But the finish, I really loved. The role models did that H-bomb to Baszler, and Nia does a second rope crossbody onto both and wins. Even the ref is like, what? Okay.
I wonder if Bayley wasn't supposed to take the pin or anything here. I'm sure that's how it was planned out and stuff. But I don't know if I would have had Bayley take this pin, honestly. It was cool. It was a cool visual, Nia pinning them both, and it played off of the previous kind of thing at Payback where Bayley tapped out from Shayna's submission. And that's why I wonder, like, maybe Bayley could have gotten like a shoulder up or something here, and then that's why she kind of snapped at the end. But I mean, we can talk about Bayley just going crazy here, but I did enjoy the match, and I did think the finish was very good.
One of my favorite things was Corey Graves afterwards. He says they don't really like each other, but championships and paychecks are making them make it work. You tell me why. They told me why winning the championship matters more. I like that. The medical,
great job by Anderson Cooper.
Yes. The medical team checks on Sasha Banks, and this goes through a commercial. So I'm telling you, 42 minutes, commercials included. It deserved this amount of time. After as long as it's been built, Jeremy, it needed this much time. It deserved it. We got a super chat from the Jam one, Ryan B. Jam. He says, 42 minutes, that's 15 AEW Dynamite's women's segments combined. Ah, I was so happy. And Bayley beat the crap out of Sasha. And beat the crap out of Sasha for like 8 or 9 minutes. This is what it had to be. We got Aaron Entertainment says, I'd have Sasha out for a month or two after this. I would have her out until the draft in which she gets drafted to Raw. That's what I would do.
I would assume the draft is like October because they haven't announced it. And, yeah, you know, you've reported that it's changed days so much or changed months so much.
Can confirm they're not doing it in July or August anymore.
Okay, good. Yes. Glad that's been confirmed. That's a me scoop right there. if she's going to be out till October, whenever they do it, come back, be on Raw, lead Team Raw against Bayley's Team SmackDown for Survivor Series, get some interaction there, go into the Rumble, go into Mania. You could easily hold this off and not do any type of real interaction outside of the Survivor Series tag team match until WrestleMania. And I hope they do it. I really hope they do.
It needs to. This, like, Sasha should win the Royal Rumble or Bayley win the Royal Rumble. But ideally, I think it needs to be Bayley kind of staying away from her.
Yeah.
Because I get it. I know that a lot of people are like, well, Bayley should do it and tease her about not being able to defend the title.
Yeah, but that's the rematch after, like, you do the Rumble or you do the Mania match, Sasha wins, and that's how you set up the rematch at whatever the Backlash or whatever the next pay-per-view is.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't want them to do this like next month, and I get the sad feeling that they'll be like, Hell in a Cell, we're doing it.
No, God, you could easily stretch this until Mania. And I know they've like already stretched this for a year, but you want fans in the building for this. I don't want to watch this match with the piped in crowd noise. That shit is annoying as can be. It angered me during this show tonight. So I don't want that. I want actual fans there. Hold it off as long as you can. And if that means Mania, then that means Mania.
I think it should be Mania. I think it's right now it's the Mania main event, Roman being back and them doing as well as he is. It's a sad victim of circumstance when it's like Roman Reigns probably shouldn't have been the main event so many times. And now he's at the spot where there is another main event quality match out there, and he's doing great. Bailey Pillmanized Sasha Banks. She's carted off in the ambulance. Dizzy C says, remember the first week of September. Four Horsewomen, treason and chair shots. I see no reason why Four Horsewomen treason by Bailey should ever be forgotten.
No, the turn last year was September 2nd when she beat up Becky with the chair, and then she attacked Charlotte the next night. And now a year and a couple days later, she's attacking Sasha Banks.
That is an outstanding point. Dizzy C says, did you see the coward Sasha Banks try and grab the SmackDown women's belt? Bailey was just being a good friend, curbing Sasha's wanton greed.
There are going to be so many Twitter threads and Reddit threads on all the looks and the faces these two have made over the past few months. Cannot wait to read it all, at least read the reaction to all of it.
Because they're great and they care.
Yes.
They care. And because they care, I care. Colt Badeau says, Batista quote tweeted Yang's epic Twitter promo. Yeah. Hey, man. I mean, that's where we are. That's going to be happening a lot more if they don't clear this up. And Chris Rain says, I want an SRS interview with Andrew Yang so bad. He's really knowledgeable about wrestling. We got JJ Lee saying, I'm a little behind, but holy crap, Andrew Yang let the choppa sing on Vince. And if you want to let your choppa sing, SRS plug. Yeah, I'll just say this. Hopefully our crack news team is on top of that while we are on this show.
I sent it, so somebody should be. Okay. Yes. Patel. I'm on top of it, Sean, even though I'm doing this show, to make sure everybody else is on top of it. Point God shit only.
Patel Ron 6 says, Cole wishes he was as jacked as Anderson Cooper. Cole was pretty jacked. He got himself in really, really great shape like a couple of years ago. Like they did
a WWE. Anderson Cooper undefeated at WrestleMania?
Yeah, I don't think so. Cole, they did like a pictorial on Cole, and he was ripped. Weeping Milwaukee. Oh God. Weeping Milwaukee said next week Vince is gonna squash Tozawa on Raw. Oh no.
I mean, he does that every week. So I mean, is that really like a shot at Andrew Yang? That just kind of happens every week.
Oh no, Andre Banks, his finger poke of doom from the Samoan tribe, heard Paul call Roman the tribe leader. I don't know if they'll go there with that. I don't think they would do something that stupid.
No, Roman also said he has an island now. Tama Tonga, I saw him tweet something like, dude, what's up with this? I have an island. Man. Keep your yard.
Let the people know where they can find you, Jeremy. You're doing the All Outpost show tomorrow while I'm doing all the scrums.
I'll be on the All Out Post show with my sworn enemy, Alex McCarthy. We'll probably fight each other on air. Should be very fun.
Yeah.
The Distraction TEW series comes to an end tomorrow as SummerSlam just pisses me off because this happened months ago, I think, at this point. And now it's a perfect cap on this week, Sean. It's a perfect cap on this week after these last 48 hours of sports. The Distraction every Thursday, 7 o'clock. It's a great show. We review movies every Tuesday. Happy birthday to Joe Holbert.
Yeah.
I'm not firing him, but happy birthday, Joseph.
Yes, happy birthday to Joe. He has a couple of great features up.
Yes.
One on Jon Moxley, one on FTR. Guys, if you all want to binge watch some stuff, the Distraction reviews, like, they've got a ton of wrestling related movies up there. Check them out. It's good stuff. Wild Boy says, can you guys end the show the way that Bray ends the Firefly Funhouse episodes by smiling, waving, and saying goodbye? Well, I will after I tell you, check out all my interviews. Eric Young, minutes after he won the championship. Matt Cardona, we talk a lot of stuff over there. Thunder Rosa, she mentioned possibly booking NWA, and I believe she could do it. She's promoting her own shows. And then we got Ricky Starks, they're all up. Goodbye.
Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.